Jen Shaw. And I'm Kate O'Reilly, and you're listening to XOXO.
JK.
A show about good stuff, real stuff, funny stuff. This week, French Takeover.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm excited. So we've got some special guests.
We never have guests on our podcast. It's usually just us talking
to each
other.
We've only had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maddie Gibbo was a guest one time. We talked about selfies, most of it. So this is going to be really different.
Excited. So should we talk a little bit about Fringe?
Yeah.
History? And then we'll dive into our guests and introducing them. Fringe is an annual performing arts festival in the Twin Cities in its 22nd year.
Do you ever go? Have you gone?
I do go. I worked with them a few years ago to revamp their communications and website. And then since then, I've been a fan. Before then, I had gone sort of dabbled. But since then, I've been a big fan. No one selects the shows, the participating shows. It's a lottery. There are 174 shows, individual shows this year, and 900 performances. No show runs more than 60 minutes, and tickets are $14 a piece.
They're really firm on the 60 minutes.
Good.
And also, you can't show up late to a show ever. You won't be able to get in and see it.
That was the first tweet of the season was them saying,
don't be late.
The one rule about...
I love Fringe. It's an exciting, the energy in the arts and entertainment community, and everybody's out and about seeing funny, cool things, and it's a lot going on.
Yeah. Do you want to introduce our guests?
Yes. Well, we have a bunch of guests here, so should we just run down
one
of them?
Hi, guests.
One of them's late, and she got lost, so she's on her way here. So we'll defer her. But we have Emily Schmidt.
Hello.
Hi, Emily.
Ooh. Thanks for having me.
We're excited to have you. I feel like it's like Delicious Dish, and we all have our NPR voices. Right now.
A little bit.
It's great to be here. Joe Bozick.
Hi, how you doing, everybody?
Yay. Amazing. Joe and I recently affirmed our best friendship.
Total best friends.
Via the internet, so it's pretty exciting.
Wow.
Yeah. And Josh Carson.
What?
This is like Fringe royalty.
It is. What a choice.
I'm getting out of the NPR voice then. I was like, let's podcast.
Right? Taking it to the streets.
It's cool. Right.
It's really nice to have
you. And joining us later, we'll
have
Erin Shepherd.
Erin Shepherd. Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's texting me that she probably went to the same house you went
to. I did go to another home and interrupted a man's life.
Please tell this story because it's so great. And then we'll talk about your show.
I was feeling frantic because I was putting on makeup while driving.
Of course.
And I misread the street sign and I found what I thought was the podcast location. And I just brazenly walked up.
Of course.
Rang the doorbell twice.
And we're probably pissed that and I was attending to you.
Looking in windows, I was like, they got to pick up their newspaper. I was like, no one's been to this home in 10 million years.
Judging.
Yeah, so you were judging the home. Of the podcast.
Well, these were just sort of red flags that I chose not to listen to.
Okay.
And then was peering into the home, banging. I banged on a window. And then a sort of really actually sort of cut older man. Came to the door and greeted me. And
our producer.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know who this guy is, but I was like, are you doing a podcast in here? And he was like, no.
Amazing.
No, I'm not. And I was like, is this Brighton? And he was like, no. He's like, you're going to want to go. Just, it's another street.
Away. You're going to want to go away.
If
Did
this
you
were
give
a
your number, though?
Well, I'm going to go back.
Yeah. So I was going to say, if this were a romantic comedy, you guys would be getting together in the last act,
right?
Racing to the airport stop him from going to the convention.
Yeah.
Very important.
Absolutely.
Mention
convention. Okay, so you have a show in Fringe. And you have had a show for the last however many years.
The only form of good luck in my life happens within the Fringe lottery.
Well, I love your shows.
Thank you. This is the sixth year in a row. This is the sixth. I got too close. This is the sixth year in a row that I've been drawn for the lottery.
That's so cool.
And that's not even on the wait list, just purely drawn. And I'm not doing anything shady.
Yeah.
Jeff Larson, I'm not doing anything shady.
Nope.
Yeah. So it's my sixth year. And I typically just write a an hour-long play, and I moved to Los Angeles about 2.5 years ago, so for the past couple of years I just write a play essentially in my bed and without pants
and snacks, and then just, usually I feel like some baked goods, maybe
so many snacks, yeah. And a lot of like bed cereal,
yep.
And then I just write it up and just literally send it away and make everyone else do the hard work, yep. Of analyzing the script, memorizing, and then I just come back and
put it on.
There it is.
Oh my God. So tell us about, well, you have a show and then you're in a couple of shows. So you have to tell us all about this.
Yes. So I wrote The Misses, mm-hmm. Which was inspired by my great love for reality shows like Sister Wives and My Five Wives.
Oh my God. So many wives.
Available on TLC and YouTube.
Nice.
And I just was like, there's so much going on here, mm-hmm. with these like sad women and this sort of pompous patriarch with names like Cody.
Oh, that's the Sister Wives guy. Yeah.
Cody Brown.
Oh, my God.
The other one on My Five Wives is named Brady.
Of course.
Like, who are these freaks? Mm-hmm. So they I just was like really intrigued by the women on the show, and they have. In both of those shows, like the first wife is kind of the same, second wife is kind of the same. So I was like, well, this would be an easy thing to sort of explore.
I cannot wait to see this.
Thank you. Yeah. So in my show, they're on a fake TLC reality show called Polygamy A Break.
And that's the 10 minutes of laughter.
That's amazing. Polygamy A Break.
We just clocked a minute and a half there.
Is there a Nell Carter character though?
Not really.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Next time.
She's there spiritually. Nell Carter's
she
in
is.
The room.
She's yeah. in a vom oh. of theater in the round.
Right.
So the show is sort of like Talking Heads, like pre-recorded.
Nice.
Supposed to be it's theater, so it's not, but pre-recorded interviews with the women, and then the bulk of the show is their mutual husband has gone missing, and so they're all like sort of trying to deal with the fact that Dean is gone,
and they're gonna have to
figure out a time to go.
I know if you have the next showing, tell us your schedule
is today at four,
right?
And then there are three other performances.
Do you want to tell us the other dates? But we'll link it in the show notes as well.
Sure. So today, Sunday at 4 p.m. Tuesday, August 4th at 8:30. Friday, August 7th at 4 p.m. And Sunday, August 9th at 1 p.m.
And you're at the theater in the round.
Yeah. And I wrote the show before knowing that. And I wrote it that
Amazing.
It takes place in a communal living room. And in the show, they all have homes that spoke out.
Of course.
From this communal living room. And it just like worked out really well. There are four spokes, four wives. Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you're also performing in Couple Fight.
I am.
Which has gotten a lot of good press.
It's really fun. Anna Wegel Reed and is producing it, and Tom Reed is directing it. And they asked some couples to script the worst fight they've ever had.
Oh my God, I love it.
And I am so incredibly single, so not so much in a traditional couple, if you will. But they asked me and my best friend Maureen Tubbs to write our worst fight. So we are the non-romantic couple.
I love it.
Of the show.
Oh,
and we
I'm
did
really
have
excited.
A terrible fight up at the cabin, at a ladies' cabin weekend, while playing a game of Pictionary.
By the way, Ladies Cabin Weekend is going to be in next year's Fringe, so look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah, it could be.
Co-hosting The Angel of Nell Carter.
Fine, God, fine. Okay? I'll put it in.
Polygamy A Break, man. That's so great. Awesome. Then you're doing one this afternoon, too.
Yes, I'm a special guest in a show that is talking about Fringe reviews.
Oh, my God.
Which I agreed to sort of hastily, and then I was like, I have to really think about how I'm going to be as a person in this show.
Right.
So,
yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to find out more about the shows we're talking about the whole episode today, I just set up my Fringe queue to just be those shows, so you can get to them really quickly.
Oh, thank you.
I hearted them all.
Thank
you so much.
Yeah. Cute. Well, we'll kick you out, Emily, because we know you have to get to your show.
Thank you for having me.
You could probably want to stop and pick up that guy. on your way.
Yeah, I'm going to try to, maybe when I have some more time.
Yeah.
Just sort of, I'm going to put some lipstick on and just like knock on some more windows.
Dig in his trash.
Yeah. You
know. Go to Kinko's, make 100 copies of a selfie, of a Snapchat, I feel like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Screenshot.
Yeah.
With your digits.
Just depends on how dedicated I am.
I feel the connection though. Like I feel like there's some.
We had sustained eye contact when he was trying to figure out like who the hell I was. And I was giving him no information.
He was looking for the Twitch.
He was. I showed up with like 3 bags. I'm like, I look like I was moving in.
I love it. Amazing. I love it.
Cool. Well, awesome. Thanks.
Thanks again.
Thank you so much. Good luck.
Thanks.
We have our next guest. You guys just met, Kate, right? Have you never met Josh Carson?
Yeah, we just met and we hugged upon meeting each other. So
that's the kind of community we live in. It's true. A lot of hugs. Very accepting. I mean, you are in Kate's house, so I feel like
you will likely be hugged.
Yeah, that's an appropriate entrance. But I'm excited to have Josh here. How did we meet? I don't even remember.
We met just via comedy circles. And
then you were on Dave Ryan. I remember that.
Yes,
and then I
appeared on that a couple of times. And I think, I met you when you were working at Clear Channel.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's been a long time.
It's been a long time. I mean, And then we ran into a breakfast one time. That was exciting.
Yeah, at Blackbird.
Yeah.
That was a great day.
Oh, I love Blackbird.
Great day. Are you just gonna list every single time you saw each other?
And then one time I saw you in an audience. That was pretty cool.
That was fun.
That was a good time.
That was fun. I saw you crossing the street that one time.
Yeah,
and
we each have dogs. And they have the same name.
It's true. It's true. They're both named Louie.
You had your dog first, and then I got my dog. And Maddie Gibba was like, "You know that Josh Carson's gonna have some feelings about you naming your dog Louie."
I did have some feelings.
You never voiced them to me, though.
No. I it was very introspective, and I just kind of had to learn to deal with it and move on.
There's a lot of Louis I learned.
It's true.
When I take,
there was a king, I think.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. There was, but when I go to the dog daycare, though, they're always like, "Which Louis?" And then I'm like, "Wow, it was not original, like at all.
But, yeah,
zero originality."
What kind of dog do you have?
He's a little Cairn Terrier, 10 pounds.
Oh, Terrier, nice. Well, I got a pug, and pugs are the best dogs.
They should hang out probably sometime.
They are.
Anyway, back to track. Is that how you say it?
Why, back here.
On track. You have a show. Well, okay, this show, all the people we have on the show are like fringe royalty, I feel like. You guys always have like
amazing. We consider you fringe royalty.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people do.
That is ridiculous. Ridiculous,
also,
but okay.
Like the media sources also do too, because you guys always have like really great shows that people really enjoy. So you had an encore show last year and probably some other years too, I feel like, didn't you?
Yes. Yeah. Last year we did the Lincoln assassination comedy show. It was a Our American Assassin or You Can't Handle the Booth. Ripe for comedy.
Oh, man. So good.
It was really good.
Yeah, no, that was a good time. And then, we did Class of 98 a few years ago. That also got the encore.
So no pressure for you every year you go into Fringe.
I deliberately this year kind of wanted to do a smaller, quieter show and not have to worry about like the encore stuff like that. That being said, like if we get it, I'll be like, all right, I guess I'll do the show again. But no, it was.
And the encore is like, it's like the most sold out show or something, right?
The highest selling show in a venue gets to perform one last time. They get a 6 performance at Sunday at 8:30.
Cool.
And it's more of a bragging rights victory because the actual show itself is everybody's done, tired. They want to get to the party, and the audiences are kind of like just tired too. And then it's like, all right, one more show. Yeah. And that was like 75% full. And
oh my God. Well, tell us about...
That's awesome.
Tell us about your show.
Yeah, tell us about Backlash.
Well, the show is called Backlash, and it is about an aspiring comedian, but actual high school teacher who...
most of us are.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Who partners with a teenager that's in his class, and they do like comedy projects together. And then the teenager's comedy career starts to take off a little bit faster than the teacher's. And then
yes. I've never experienced anything like that before. No, have you and guys? Then
yes, the teacher gets jealous, and they kind of get into a little competition once an opportunity arises for them to audition for Saturday Night Live. So,
oh my God, how many shows have you had already? Two.
Two.
Okay.
We've had two.
And
yeah.
Good. Like things have been.
Yeah, things have been good, and people have been laughing, and we get right up to that. The first show we got timed out at 59:45.
Shit. Yeah,
we were right up there, and then
Are the tech people just like when you're, you know, because it's 60 minutes or less.
Yeah, 60 minutes.
And so
or
are
less,
they
and-
like. you have to end. Like, what are they like on you to finish it?
No,
like,
no,
would they shut you down if you went over 60 minutes? Like,
in
what?
Years past, they've been like, oh, you got the Carson show? Well, enjoy. Like, I got it to 59:59 one year. Like,
but what happens if you go to 60 minutes? And do like the lights shut down?
I'm pretty sure there's like gigantic breaker switches.
Yeah. In the and like someone comes out with a hook and they're just like, get off the stage.
Door opens.
Because everything's so scheduled. Like, you know, they got to have like the 30 minutes in between the show and then get the next show going. And yeah. So that you're wow. You
yeah. No, we always get right. I said, like, we get right up to the wall and we touch it and then we go walk away. Mm-hmm. So I've never had the lights come up on me though. So that's,
but they would do that. Like that's a thing.
They would do that. And there's been a couple shows I've heard about this
Shut
year.
Shut up. How awful would that be? That's like getting your mic cut during stand up, which also is terrible.
Do you feel like when it's approaching 57, 58, do you feel it? Like, do you have like an internal clock?
I've got the markers that I know if we're at this time during this scene and this time during this scene, then we're good.
Yeah.
So,
oh, right.
So, yeah. And I got a couple.
Because you're a professional.
But no. But, and then my mantra is just, you know, talk faster if the show is running long, which I've been accused of being like Aaron Sorkin, but on crack.
Yep.
Which I think he was actually on crack, wasn't he?
I think he was, actually. Yeah.
So Aaron Sorkin. I've been accused of being Aaron Sorkin.
That's awesome. Okay, so we've got your shows coming.
And you're at Theater in the Round.
We're at Theater in the Round, nice. Yes. And the story this year is very loosely inspired by what's actually going on in real life, because the kid in the show, Tucker, I've been doing shows with him for a number of years in the Fringe. He was in our Freaking Kid show and Class of 98 and One Hit Thunder, which he played a Justin Bieber-esque pop star that had to enter the CIA for some reason. That was the plot description.
Of course.
But we've been working together for years, and he has been inspired to become a comedian. So he got into NYU this year, and he had to make a short film to do so. And he had me in it, and Andy, who I do most of my shows with, and Jim Robinson.
Like your writing partner. Right?
My writing partner, yeah. And he did the short movie, and it like went viral, and he got into NYU as a result of it. And that just kind of made me go like, let's just do a show about this. Like, let's kind of, and it's
very cool.
Much more of a, it's the closest thing mainly me is going to get to doing a drama. It's more of a dramedy, but it's not, it's not morose or anything like that. It just takes some serious and thoughtful turns. And then the Fringe reviews have just kind of been, they've been nice, but they've also been like, and then there's a dramatic arc, which I was not ready for in this Carson show.
Because everyone who's seen all your other shows before, I mean, it's a difference.
And I was talking to somebody last night, and they said, I mean, I love your shows. They're always so much fun, but this one was about something. And I go, thank you.
Right. Like, I can't wait to see it. So you've had two so far. You've got three left.
Yep.
It looks like Tuesday at 10.
Tuesday at 10 o'clock. Everybody was fighting for that time slot, but I said, hey, I got it covered.
My show is about
something.
It's like
the most popular time slot.
It
Tuesday
is.
Tuesday at 10 p.m. Yeah.
Everybody, you don't have a show at Tuesday at 10 o'clock.
You're not, it's like you can, you know, no one's going to be in bed by that point. At all on a Tuesday. It's like
It's the national night out. So
is national night out on Tuesday for real?
It is, yeah. So
okay, that's the night I stay inside my house and look out my windows and judge all my neighbors. So that
you've got plans.
I got plans. Thursday the 6th, that's 7.
That's 7
a good, that's a good one.
It's a good one.
You don't have to compete with the Cosby Show anymore, so that's good.
And then I was going to say Grey's Anatomy, but you went even further back.
That used to be Thursdays at 7, wasn't it?
I don't think a show really goes by anymore without Jen mentioning Cosby, so.
It's true. It's like every episode we have something to say.
Did you know he's been in the news lately?
I heard that. No. He probably has like a new show coming out or something.
I think he shot a lion.
Oh, that how he, so he's a dentist now since he doesn't do TV anymore. Okay.
Yeah, no, he just got into dentistry.
Okay, and then Friday at 5:30.
Friday at 5:30. Okay. Also, dynamite time slot. Whoa. That's our last show. So it's like, let's close it out on a matinee. Woo, yeah.
God,
nice.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm pumped to see your show. Like, I have you. Well, you have everything in your queue. I didn't set up a queue yet, but I will.
You can just have mine.
Yeah, it's all the ones I want to see. Super. So awesome. Thanks for coming
well,
in here.
Thank you for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Let's, we've decided before we started recording that we're going to write a Fringe show together next year, me and you.
Yes.
Grey's Anatomy.
Jen has an unhealthy relationship with Grey's Anatomy, and she feels she has to complete it. And
it's the only thing I've ever done from start to finish.
And I just burst her bubble by letting her know that it's going to be around.
I can't believe it got renewed again.
It did.
This is insane to me. How? Like I
might have to delay that a year.
Like it was like when it ended, I was like, okay, compartmentalize that piece of your life. Like it's done. You need to just wrap it up, set it aside, you know?
How much shit can happen to that woman on that show?
Here's the thing. You know you can overcome things in your life when you can make it through the Grey's Anatomy musical episode. It's like, if you made it through that, like, you can do anything. Like, you can be anything. You can accomplish your dreams. Because if you sat through them singing that stupid Frey song that they all sing when they're, like, surgering on somebody.
Which season is that?
That was
Katie just watched it. Ask her. She texted me. Okay, I do have to show you this.
Okay.
This happened this week and I was like, oh girl,
looking for that, I want to know what show you're going to see at 2:30.
At 2:30 I am off to go see the Comedy Suitcase presents The Averagers.
Nice.
That is by Comedy Suitcase, and yep. I've worked with those guys before and they always do really great work. And Joshua Scrimshaw is going to break his back in a show one time. I hear he rides a bike down the stairs in the aisle at the Theater in the Round. And every year there's some stunt that he does, and it's going to be horrifically bad one year, but it'll be a five-star
show. I can't wait to see
that.
That
was
one really, really good until then.
To see you too. The Averagers.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I got this text on Wednesday, 10:52 p.m. This is legit. I've reached the musical episode of Grey's. And I was like, I said, all right, if you make it through the musical episode, you can do anything. She goes, I'm 7 minutes in, and it is, ellipsis?
Yep.
Challenging everything I thought I knew about myself. And I was like, that's the thing. Like, if you make it through that, like, the world opens up. Like, it's like a whole new, you have a whole new outlook on everything.
I just don't get how much more stuff can happen to this. It's been like,
bombs,
10 years.
Murders.
Yeah, there's been bombs. A plane
divorces,
fell on her sister.
Cancer.
Like, she killed
amputees.
One of her parents in surgery.
Yep, amputee.
Her husband just got run over and died. Yep. And it's like
adoption of babies.
I have a lot of questions.
At some point, she's got to sit back and go, is it me? Am I totally doing
her.
All of this?
What's the
and
common
now you
denominator?
Got your title.
Yeah.
What's the common denominator?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're thanks so much,
also,
Josh.
Well, thank you very much. It was lovely to meet you, Kate, and lovely to see you again, Jen. I'm going to file this away as one of the times I saw you. And
well, like in that audience.
And the next podcast, we'll talk about how we saw each other at the last podcast.
I can't wait. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Live, awake, alert, enthusiastic.
What? Are you singing?
That's a camp song I learned.
It. Next up, we're going to talk to Joe Bozic. Whose show, Mary Spider Cafe, with Mike Fotis.
Ugh.
And they're
we don't want to talk about him because he couldn't be bothered to be here today.
No longer BFFs.
I Mike, best wishes to you if you listen to this, but don't ever talk to me again.
I love the term best wishes so much.
It's a terrible term.
So it's playing at the very convenient New Century Theater in downtown Minneapolis.
It's near light rail,
Several bus lines go to it.
The Mayo Clinic.
The Mayo Clinic's right there.
The
as long as Rosa Mexicana. Rosa Mexicana. There's a food court just above the theater.
Ooh.
It closes at 5, but
you can still smell the smells.
Yep.
And you have 3 shows remaining.
That's correct.
And the Wednesday one or the Monday one is ASL interpreted, and that's a lottery, right?
The ASL stuff, you have to sign up for it.
Oh, you do.
Yes. So if someone's
coming,
kind
of picked.
Nope.
Isn't it like if someone's coming, then they would get an interpreter? Like if someone buys a ticket, like.
I think the way it works is that the French sends out an email and says, hey, do you want to be a part of this?
Oh, cool. Okay.
And then groups that want to can sign up for it, which sort of gives them a chance to.
I had a totally different idea only because someone said, they were having anxiety about having to hand in their script earlier than they expected to because of that.
For ASL, yeah.
So I got the idea for some reason that it was just kind of like the other lottery that you know they just kind of applied it evenly and so I just had a totally different idea, but that's good that they make it accessible.
I love I've done shows where we've been ASL interpreted, and that's like a wonderful thing because they'd be like, could we get your jokes, and I was like, nope, this doesn't work like that all the time, just like I'm sure for you guys and stuff sometimes, but
that's
blow job is always an interesting one word to see them interpret. Because they're like, whoa, wasn't expecting to do that. Blow job.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's funny. That was a great story, Jen.
It's okay. It's a podcast. We can't see your hands.
We've done the ASL thing for the past few years. Yeah. And
great.
Yeah. I think the main reason we do it is there's usually some word in the script that we want to see how it's done.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Like during Hoosiers a couple of years ago, we said the word shank. Like 15 or 20 times.
Yeah, you did.
And yeah.
I saw that show. Yep.
And so we were very curious as to what the ASL.
What is it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, okay.
Or how about just Hoosiers?
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Spell it out.
Love it. So tell us about your show this year, though. Mary Spider Cafe.
Mary Spider Cafe is a sketch show. So there are, I don't know, like 8 or 10 different sketches that sort of goes into that went into this thing. It's a show that we had done at the Brave New Workshop Student Union back in April of 2014.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yay. but we had we sort of reconfigured it a little bit. We took a couple of sketches out, put a couple of new sketches in. So it's a sketch show, but all of the sketches have some sort of connecting thread to each other. So there's some weird characters that show up, you know, in different sketches, and there's stuff that doesn't make sense at the beginning, but sort of makes sense at the end of it. And then there's some interpretive dancing. So,
oh my God. And it, okay, so
that's awesome. Our Wi-Fi network is Interpretive Dance Squad.
It's just you and Mike.
Just me and Mike.
Right.
I'm exhausted. Yeah.
So you guys are real life best friends and writing partners.
True.
And life partners, I feel like.
We've done a lot together. Yeah.
Yeah. And you like went to school together.
We met in high school.
Right.
We ended up at the same college. Not right away. I went to a different college for freshman year. And then they basically kicked out the theater department, the professors in the theater department. So I was like, I don't need to be at this college anymore. So I went to where Mike was going. And then we decided to move up to Minneapolis. and now here we are.
And you work at the same day job.
We both work at the same day job.
I love it so much. It's like the cutest.
I had to reconcile my feelings about General Mills this year and Kyle and I did together about like it's like they have so many of our good writers.
Yeah.
Like the best writers in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And Kyle brought it up actually. It didn't occur to me until he said something. And he was like having like major feelings about they were like all working in the same place. He's like, spread the love around. Isn't that funny? Yeah. I just thought, I didn't think about it until you mentioned it.
Also, I don't work at General Mills. So
also, thanks. I don't either.
So, I mean,
get at it.
Seems like we're spreading the love around just fine.
So
I love that though.
Yeah, and your shows, I mean, you guys are just so fearless, and the timing is unbelievable. And I just laugh so hard, and I know that sounds weird to say, but I value laughter so much. I just do. Like, it's such a weird thing to say, but it is something that it's like when you're working and you're going through your daily life and all of a sudden you're laughing at night at something and, mm-hmm. you know, very few things. We've talked about this mm-hmm. before. It's really hard to find funny right now, conventionally. It's really hard to find it on television. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just like, if you can find it, and it's like every time I know I see you guys perform, I know that it's a sure thing.
Yeah.
And it's really personal to me. Like we this is part of our show is that we talk about really hard things a lot, but like I went through
it's really funny.
It's so funny. It's the funniest show and so lighthearted. But
we talk about the red tent
like
a lot.
5 years, like pretty much, you know, I went through like a really, really hard time, and the last few years have been building my life back and figuring out like what I do prefer and what I like and what I want to do with my spare time. So right. when I can find a sure thing, I really appreciate it. And I know your shows will do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. That's what we've been aiming for.
And I've been Yay. Obsessed with you guys for like a really long time. So yeah. It's nice to be in the same room. It's like kind of creepy. Like
it's nice to Facebook message you and get a response.
No, what we're trying to say. Before I did comedy, I think I'd seen like every show at Brave New Workshop when it was you guys and Ellie. And Ellie Hino was my first improv teacher in like 2007.
She's great.
So yeah, I know. We're talking about you, not Ellie though. So no,
yeah. But like, so anyway, I wanted to interject that because it's a real thing. And and it's like if you want to laugh and if you should see not just this show, but other work that you guys put on.
Well, thank you so much.
Always awesome. Good.
Yay.
Yeah.
I think it still sort of baffles Mike and I that our sense of humor, because it's weird. But it is like,
but
it,
you guys
people
have
really
so much fun with each other. And I think that's like also a huge part of it is like, if you go see your show, you can tell that you both are having like the best time and mm-hmm. it's so genuine and like that makes everybody else have a really good time too.
But yeah. I think that sense of, you know, humility and just like wonder about what you're creating mm-hmm. and is if you lose that, I feel like you lose part of what's really great about it. Yeah. So that's good that you still have that.
Yeah.
You know, because I feel like that too with things that I've made that, you know, you're just like, this is the wild card. Like, this is the thing I didn't think anyone would get.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when you're being the most yourself is when people really respond to it.
Yeah.
So I love that you reflected on that, because that I think if you do lose that you should quit.
Yes.
No, wait.
But that's this show in particular is very much like we went into it thinking we really like this show. Like this show really speaks to the two of us and we're having a blast with it. And we also went into it thinking there are people that are just not going to like it because it gets weird. Like there are some aspects of it that's just like, what is happening?
I can't wait to see it.
Awesome. Yeah.
So yeah, that's great that it's that people are responding
that's
to it.
That's great.
Well yes. I think I'm not in the community. Like I'm mm-hmm. not, I'm a singer, but I'm not in the side of the community. So it's like from a outside perspective too, there's like, there's a definite feeling that you guys know that, you know, performers know each other and get each other and like they get the workings, like the inner workings of how theater,
like we're always going to be 15
comedy,
minutes late.
And specifically how comedy works.
Yeah.
You know, so from an outsider's perspective, like anytime I can feel like I'm a part of that and I feel like the barrier's been lowered, that's just, you know, it's like
comedians
with anything.
Are just
feels great.
Too. We just, we eat and sleep and poop.
You're just like us.
Just like you.
Yeah. Someone said yesterday at the gym, or 2 days ago, Jen and I go to the same gym, and Jen said, or someone said, oh, you're a comedian too? And I was like, oh my God, no. But, you know, like that minute, it's like, I suppose any kind of performer aspires to be another kind or, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm a writer, but not really a performance, not in the performance genre, I guess. So, and I was like, for that 1 second, I was like, they think I am. It's like
super exciting.
I'm sort of the XOXO and Jen's sort of the JK. So you have three shows
mm-hmm.
tomorrow, Wednesday, Saturday.
That's correct.
And, ooh, you got an explicit rating.
Yeah, we swear a little bit.
That's great.
Yes.
We do too.
Yeah. Goes to the top of my list.
Shit. God damn it.
I'm kinda,
Okay, so of course, like your show is like the one show that you would recommend people to go see.
Of course.
But outside of that, what's another show that you are excited to see or have seen and really enjoyed?
Oh boy, I've only gotten to see one show so far.
What?
I saw the and it was sort of on a whim. I went and saw the A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Death Star.
Yeah.
And I was going into it thinking, this sounds like it's pretty fun, but it was ridiculously amusing. They do a musical of the entire Star Wars trilogy.
Shut up.
And it's
amazing.
It's amazing. Okay. It truly is amazing.
A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Death Star. Is that what it is?
So yeah, I saw that. Okay. And I give that a hearty recommendation.
Okay.
And then there are like eight, there are more, there's probably like 20 shows that I want to try and get to. And I hope that I can.
That's one thing I love about you guys too, is that at the end of your show, you always talk about what other shows people should go see.
Yeah.
I think that's really neat. Like, I think that's super supportive and like really cool.
The thing I love about the Twin Cities is that the community, like every single aspect of the community I've been a part of has been nothing but supportive.
Yeah.
You know, the improv, sketch comedy, all that stuff.
I'm going to join those communities.
Hmm?
I'm going to join those communities.
Are you feeling less supported nowadays?
Oh, I just mean that part of comedy sounds amazing.
You come on over.
I'm going to come over.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a human algorithm, like sort of like if you liked this.
Yeah.
Then you might like this. And I need all the help I can get. Like, it's really, the schedule is really intimidating. And I read all the, you know, the press of people that I trust, because it's really hard to dive into the website. Although it's incredibly well designed and easy to use.
The Fringe site.
It's hard to dive in and you know on those first few days. Yeah. And then I think it becomes a little bit more apparent. But when you guys do that, it's always nice. I always jot them down.
Yep.
Well, thanks.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, awesome. Joe. Best friend.
Yay, best friend.
Yay.
Have fun at Target.
Okay.
Okay.
So our final guest today is Aaron Shepherd. I adore Aaron Shepherd. Hi, Aaron Shepherd.
Hi, Jenshaw.
Yay. I
adore
you. Nice to see you.
You too.
You always look so... brilliantly amazing and bright and shiny.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to get emotional here.
You do.
And so I'm pumped to see your Fringe show, because I feel like it's kind of different, obviously, for obvious reasons, than everyone else we talked to today.
Yes.
Because it's dance.
It is dance.
And you have a huge history of dance. Like, I love watching you.
Oh, thank you.
Talk about, tell us a little bit about your dance.
Yeah, it's... I'm a theater person in my background. And so for me, dance is like just another way to tell a story.
Yep.
And so it tends to be very theatrical and very like each dance has a beginning, middle, and end. I think it's fairly easy to follow. There's not like, there is some abstraction, but it's not super, like some dance is very, very abstract. Mm-hmm. I am not an abstract dancer. Like I want people to feel like they know what's happening.
Yeah.
And this show is a horror show. And so, it's, kind of putting horror into dances.
Wow.
So I like to think of each, piece as kind of its own music video. So
totally.
If this song was about this kind of topic, how do I, you know, communicate that in 3.5 minutes or however long the song is.
So last year, I remember your show last year. I forget remind me of what it was called.
It was called Everyday Hustle.
That's right. Because it was all like parts of the day.
Yes.
Which I loved.
Oh.
Yeah. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So like these dances correlated with like there was like a wake up morning one. I remember the bar time one.
Yep.
That was really hilarious because it's like a bunch of drunk girls like... At the bar clothes and all the shenanigans.
I can totally imagine it.
Yeah. It was really fun. And like, thanks. You're exactly right when you say, you know, it's really easy to follow kind of the little vignettes that are happening.
Yay, good.
In your style. I really like it a lot. And the dance, the choreography is amazing. So you do all the choreography as well?
I do most of the choreography. Okay. I have two other choreographers that I usually work with, and they are amazing. Their dances are beautiful. And I think it's kind of nice because it also breaks up the styles of what's happening, so that it's not, because we like using pop music as kind of our basis. You have like 3 minutes of a modern piece and then like 6 minutes of a hip hop piece and then 3 minutes of, you know, like kind of a lyrical or, you know, so it's or jazz. And, you know, it's kind of nice to throw in a bunch of different styles and. And it's interesting for us as performers too, because then each thing kind of really feels like its own message or piece.
And I, like, how do you learn all those dances?
It's just like learning anything.
I don't think so. Okay, you, but you're so graceful. Like, I love watching you dance because your movements are so, like, fluid and graceful. I hope those are, like, the right terms to use. I don't
anything. I know what you say is the right thing.
But, like, I don't have, like, even just the way you move your hands as a dancer, I'm like, what? Because mine are like, ooh, I don't know what to do with them. So, like, and it's not, like, that's a thing that you just know. And it's really cool to watch as someone who doesn't have that. And not saying that, like, I'm like, I'm a bad dancer, but, like, I just know that's not a skill set that I have, you know?
Okay.
And so, like, it's really fun to watch when someone does, because, like, the way the body moves is interesting. Yes. That's what I'm trying to say.
Same. No, I feel the same way about dance, in that I'm always really moved when I see a dance performance.
Yeah.
Because, partially because I don't know how to do that myself, and that they're being expressive in the same way that I would be expressive with words,
right?
Or you would be expressive with comedy, or Tato Dao would be expressive with a character, or, you know, whomever. So it's like, when it's not grass is always greener, but it's parallel.
Yeah,
to grass
it's
is
impressive.
Always greener,
it's impressive.
It is impressive, and I get so emotional when I watch dancers, because you can also tell the effort that went into it.
Yes,
and that is, you know,
the physicality and the,
you know, there's no divide, because you're just using your body to show the expression instead of, like, the thought plus the words.
Also, I think sometimes I'm like, do some of those things hurt?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Like, well, and it's horror, so, like, a lot of our pieces end in death. so there are things you know, like, there's actually one, spoiler alert, I get punched a couple of times in one piece, and we've been doing, we did a preview at Bryant Lake Bowl, and that space is like a quarter of the size of the stages that we're usually on. And so the girl that punches me first, like, we just, like, our distance between each other was much smaller. So she actually punched me in the stomach, which is totally fine. Like, it's like, I was ready for it, and
braced and ready.
I have a pretty strong gut, and there's, like, a little bit of fluff to get through. So, like, it was fine. I was totally ready. But she just felt terrible, because, like, but that kind of stuff happens, or, like, I'll end up with scrapes on my elbows a lot. And I don't know how, like, I always wear tights because my legs are so bruised, and I don't want people to worry about me, because it's fine. It's just when you're rolling around, you're going to get bruised and stuff.
I need to wear more tights, I think, from I've got a lot of,
I'm sure, from weightlifting.
So that's a good idea.
But,
and everyone is always just like, what happened to your leg? And I won't I won't even be aware that I have one.
Yeah.
And people will ask me about it. I was like, oh,
Good.
Well, and, like, I have, like, this mark on my elbow right now, and my husband was like, what happened to you? And I was like, oh, I was, like, doing an improv scene, and I felt like this would be a good time to dive onto the stage, like,
of course,
elbow first,
full body.
And like, I'm a very kinesthetic person, so, like, any chance I have to, like, slide on the ground, I take it, and usually that means, like,
that's just
sliding
rad.
Some of my skin off. But
not everyone can say that and mean it like you just did. That was awesome.
So when you so you got into the Fringe, like, with the lottery, do you already have an idea of the show that you want to do? Or do you then afterwards be like, oh my God,
this one, last year, Everyday Hustle, I did not have an idea. Okay. I just knew I wanted to do something different, because I do something for the Horror Fest every year. Wanted to, like, take a break from killing each other. So we did stuff like, like, here's the Monday dance that where we're, like, we're too tired to go to work. Yep. And then the Thursday ladies night at the bar dance.
And the music was amazing. I remember that.
Yay,
and
good.
The stories
Thank
in
you.
Between.
And so last year I did not, and it was really hard to do a brand new show for Fringe and then jump right into planning for the next Twin Cities Horror Festival. And so this year I was like, I'll just submit to the lottery, and if we get in, then I'll remount Dance with the Devil. And I really love the way, like, I always love the way the dances and the storytelling work together. But this one in particular, I think, blends very, very well. And, like, the themes are very clear, I think, how they kind of marry each other between the stories and the dances. And so I was really happy to have the opportunity to do this one again.
Awesome. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited.
Okay, yay. So you guys are at the Ritz Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Proscenium.
Proscenium. Okay. Yeah.
What does that mean, proscenium?
That's just like a straight up stage that's like raised off the ground. Okay. You can look right into it.
Oh, that makes sense.
The other space at the Ritz is called Studio, and it's just, it looks kind of like a dance studio. So they have seats set up on one side and then a floor.
Perfect.
So the proscenium is a little bit more like your standard theater.
Yes. Okay, and we've got you have a show tonight.
I have a show tonight at 8:30 and then Wednesday at 7, Friday at 5:30, so I'm competing with Josh. and then Saturday at 4 p.m.
Ooh, nice.
Cool. I can't wait to see it. It's always one of my favorite ones. I remember I went to see yours last year by myself because I was like, I just really want to see it. And that was one when Lauren was filling in, like doing the reading, Lauren Anderson. And it's like mesmerizing. So I can't wait to see this one.
Yay. Thank you. Yeah. The stories this time, Rita talks about. So our dances are about like reasons why you might sell your soul to the devil.
Yeah.
And so there's like fame, love, bringing someone back to life, those kinds of things, money. And then Rita's stories are about being raised Catholic and that it had on her, like what the devil means, you know, like her experiences growing up. And it's really nice. Like she was nervous because she was like, oh, the horror thing is hard for me. And so we talked through some stuff and I was like, you know what? I think we've got the horror part covered in
just
the dances.
Write something out. Yeah.
So if you can explore like, you know, what these kinds of feelings get to. So she does a really nice job of being hilarious and then she'll kind of like dig in and like break your heart, which is really cool.
I can't wait.
The idea of like dance and horror together is incredibly compelling to me.
It's, yay. Good.
I've never like heard that before. Yeah. And when you said it, I was like, whoa. And then I just was like, my mind kind of exploded on what that could mean. And I love it.
Cool.
So,
yay.
So cool.
I hope you enjoy the show.
Yay. We love you, Aaron Shepherd.
Thank you.
Thanks
Jen.
So much
I love
for
you
coming
too.
On
so
today.
Good to meet you, Kate.
I always like
you
to see your name full first and last name, Aaron Shepherd.
I'm kind of, I guess maybe I'm a first and last name kind of person.
From another first and last name person.
Yeah, totally.
I feel you, girl.
Yeah, I do that a lot. Mm-hmm. Love calling people by their first and last.
Well, break a leg at your show tonight.
Thank you.
We'll for sure see you this week.
Sounds good.
Yay.
So it's Aaron Shepherd, Dance with the Devil at Ritz Theater.
Proscenium.
I'm so glad you said that first because I don't think I've ever said it out loud correctly.
Awesome. Thanks, buddy.
Bye. Thank you.
That was fun to have all these guests.
Oh, it was a blast.
They're good.
We should have guests more. And I know we've talked about that a few times, but this was really energizing. And then, I just love that they had like a humble quality to them all. You know, like I think that is the magic that happens. That is when magic happens, is when you're a seasoned veteran and you still have that wonder about it.
Yep, agreed.
I do. Let's talk a little bit about people that weren't here today in studio, but that friends that are doing shows.
Okay. Well, Alex Collyard is doing a show called Collyard Nelson's Guide to Reviewing the Fringe Festival Shows and Other Tips to Help Keep Your Cool in the White Hot World of Amateur Criticism. Or, so you gave 3 stars. Now what? An interactive think piece on critiquing and analyzing independent theater in a technology age. That's the whole
title.
So that's actually the show Emily left to go read a review in. So they're doing, it's all about a hilarious take on reviewing the Fringe shows. So when you go to a Fringe show, like it's the kiddies, right? Like 3 kiddies or 5 kiddies.
Well,
or
and it reminisces for me, that's not a word, but that's okay. It makes me think of that one, is it Jimmy Kimmel that has celebrities read mean tweets about them?
Oh yeah, I love that. Yes.
That's what it makes me think of, which I love. So totally, I like the idea about that at all.
And then
I like the idea about that a lot.
Yep. And then Emily also talked about Couple Fight, which is Tom Reed and Anna Wiggle Reed, with the fights. 6 couples reenact their stupidest real fights. So I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
I am too. Anna's in choir with me in Prairie Fire, Lady
fun.
Choir.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes, I've gotten to know her. And then we have a ton of people in common, Katie Kessler.
I love Katie Kessler.
Yeah.
So Divya Maya, Megan Wilker, who are lovely lovely folks. Divi goes to our gym, or she used to go to our gym too.
Nice.
Spicy Masala Chai. And they are actually the creators of last year's best-selling Minnesota Fringe show. So it's like Bollywood dance and storytelling, and it's like the costuming and choreography is just like amazing. So
and there are like 60 or 70 people in Spicy Masala Chai.
Yeah, they've sold out already. They sold out their first show. On the show that they have today, it was like really close to selling out. So it had like a sellout alert on it. Wow. So I'm sure they're just gonna kick ass.
Cool. It's got a large cast is what I meant, though.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, in addition to a large attendance. Very cool. I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
And then we've got Tato Dowd, a friend who is in a show called Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Which sounds like something I would totally love.
Right? And it's got the cutest kitten in the promo shot. A little kitten on its back. And that is at Illusion Theater. And we also have Levi Weinhagen, who is also a Fringe, what would you say, royalty?
Yeah, Fringe royalty, Fringe veteran.
Writes, performs, directs, or is in a show every year. And he's in at least one this year. But I know The Averagers, which is a riff on the Avengers. And that
about Minnesota's like mightiest heroes. I love that. Iron Range Man.
Passive Aggressive Hulk.
Blackwood Tick.
nice.
And Paul Bunyan, the God of Lumber. I love that.
Oh, that's also at Theater in the Round. Very nice.
Awesome. So lots to see. We got lots to do this week.
We do.
Oh my God.
We do. And then Spencer from Sokana told me about his show, Everybody Wants You to Live, which is at the Rarick Experimental Theater. And he was in my class Friday, and we started talking about Fringe.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was really fun, too. So check those out. I've listed all the shows we talked about today, both in studio and just mentions, in my Fringe queue. And we'll link to that in the show notes. I also just tweeted out the link as well, so you can easily find the shows we talked about.
Yay.
And for more about these shows and about Fringe, visit fringefestival.org.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us today. This was really fun. I love a Fringe takeover.
I love it too.
Let's do it every year.
We're going to do it every year.
You're the best.
You're the best. This is Jen, and you can find me on Twitter at JenShaw or on the internet at JenShaw.com.
And this is Kate, and you can find me at clever-kate.com or on Twitter at CleverKate.
And you can find this podcast on mathishard.net or anywhere you listen to podcasts, including iTunes.
XOXO.
JK.